The Laughter Permitted podcast is brought to you by Ally. Do it right. Hello, welcome to Laughter Permitted. I'm Julie Foudy.
I'm Lynn Ozawi.
I know we typically have the guests at the scene in the interview, but we wanted to give you a little heads up that in this episode, we'll be in...
Studio!
It's where dreams are made of.
There's nothing you
can't do
when you're in
Okay. The reigning WNBA MVP, Breanna Stewart, returns to the pod, and she tells one of the funniest damn stories straight off the top. She comes in hot. And literally just when I thought, like, okay, I cannot love Stewie anymore, she goes and does this, and I'm like, that's why I love this woman so much.
This is going to be some super high praise for me. The story is up there with the Mia Hamm split pants story.
And if you have not listened to the Mia Hamm split pants story, then you have not lived. You are under a rock. Where have you been? Okay, so we talked with Stewie not long after the end of the WNBA season, in which she led the New York Liberty to a finals appearance in her first season there. And also we talked to her soon after the birth of her second child, Teo, who may be the story we're referring to, who joins big sister Ruby in the family. Stewie famously made the move to New York this season after playing six seasons with the Seattle Storm, where she won two WNBA championships and was finals MVP. Stewie played her collegiate ball at UConn, where she won four straight NCAA titles and was named the Final Four's most outstanding player, a record, yes, you guessed it, four times, and was a three-time consensus National Player of the Year. And let's not forget, she has two Olympic gold medals. So, I'd say she's okay. She's pretty damn good. It's always a good time with Stewie. So get comfortable listening. It's Breanna Stewart. Hey there, Dope Village. As y'all know, Ally has backed Laughter Permitted since day one of our podcast as our financial ally. And honestly, Lynn, I might just tattoo Ally on my forehead. And Ally is currently on a mission to change the game for women sports.
And get this, along with being sponsors of the National Women's Soccer League, Atlantic Coast Conference, United States Golf Association, and the Las Vegas Aces, Ally has committed to an equal media investment in women's and men's sports.
And you, my friends, can be part of the change by watching your favorite athletes crush it on TV, by going to women's sporting events in person, by, I don't know, maybe listening to every single episode of this amazing podcast on Trailblazing Women. Because every time you show up for women's sports, you are helping move the game forward. You can learn more about Ally by visiting ally.com. Hey there, Dope Village. Lynn and I have been involved in women's sports our entire lives. And truly, we've never been more excited for what's to come in this women's sports space. And one big reason, Ally. Ally has made a commitment to an equal media investment in women's and men's sports.
And that means more money going to women's sports and more visibility for what these incredible athletes are accomplishing. Ally is on a mission to change the game for women's sports.
So here at Laughter Permitted, we're going to keep telling the stories of trailblazing women. And every time you listen in, you are part of that change. To learn more about Ally, go to ally.com.
Kick back, relax, and unwind. Let's have a good time finding the joy in life. We're smiling so bright, talking and laughing combined. Feeling alright, get comfortable listening. It's Laughter Permitted.
Okay, Stewie, should we do this?
Let's do it.
Can we just start the interview by talking about Marta deserving a gold medal? Oh, 11 pounds, 12 ounces on Teo. Come on.
Yeah.
It was. Holy heck.
It was crazy. So we knew he was big because you do these like growth checkups or whatever, especially when you do IVF and those type of things. So he was estimating at 9 pounds, 11 ounces. And they're like, oh, it can like be off by a pound, like plus or minus or whatever. So the doctors weren't too concerned. They were like, well, we'll still try to do like a natural birth. But if for whatever reason he's struggling to come out because he's so big, then we'll have to do a C-section. So I'm going to, can I give you guys all the details?
Yeah, oh, please.
I think the situation was wild. So we went in on a Monday and we were supposed to start the induction that night or the next day. And then basically she was like trying, she was trying for like 12 hours maybe.
Yeah.
And like she just didn't dilate anymore. She was just staying at 5 centimeters. So I'm giving all the details and she's going to be like, why are you talking about me?
Her vagina only went to 5 centimeters.
Exactly. So like it was kind of crazy because she did the epidural at like 10. They broke her water at 12. She was 5 centimeters dilated. So then for 12 hours, she was 5 centimeters dilated. And then all of a sudden it was midnight and they're like, all right, we're going to do a C-section. So she hasn't eaten all day because you get the epidural, you can't eat anymore. And then we go in to do the C-section and it's like, I don't know. Like when you get into those rooms, have you guys been in those OR rooms? Probably, right?
Like, I had a C-section. I actually went just like this. I'm very much relating to this right now. This is my first.
Wait till you hear our situation. So I have to wait outside. I have the gown thing on. Like I'm waiting. She's in there getting prepped and whatever. And I hear her. She like throws up. So I guess because she was like, I don't know, the lights and all the things. So then I go in and I'm going to sit by her head and her arms are like out wide. And she's like, she can't feel, she's like, she can't feel her arms because of the anesthesia. So like, they're like moving her arms and she's like closing and opening her fists and whatever. And then, you know, there's like the sheet, the curtain. So you can't see, you just only see like the stomach is just like wrestling. They're just wrestling with the stomach. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening in here? So I'm trying to like comfort her, you know, be with her. At the same time, I'm like, I'm starting to get a little bit hot. The lights are bright. And then all of a sudden Marta's like, Marta with oxygen in her nose is like, I can't breathe. I'm not breathing. And I'm like, you have oxygen. Like it's going to help you breathe no matter what. So she was like stressing out, freaking out. The moment she was like, I'm not breathing. I was like, I don't feel good.
You pass out. You faint.
So
I don't know why I'm laughing at that.
It's funny now. All the things happening, right? Like baby's coming out. Baby comes out. Teo comes out and it's like, yay, Teo comes out. Marks is like, I'm not breathing. I'm like, I don't feel good. So I go outside. I'm like, I gotta go outside because I can't fucking, can I swear? I can't pass out in this OR room, you know? Like, I don't want to hit something. I don't want to do that. So I go out in the hallway and all of a sudden I'm just like, I catch myself and I'm like, I open my eyes and I'm like, what just happened? So I passed out in the chair outside. I'm waking up to a smell of like alcohol. The nurse put an alcohol like right in front of my nose. And I'm looking at her like, what just happened? Like literally what just
happened? She had to wake you up with the alcohol.
I mean, I needed that quick nap, but I was
it was a lot.
I was like,
oh my God.
And then I drank the juice and she's like, you want to go back inside? And I was like, yeah. So I went back inside. And then all of a sudden I was like, your baby is 11 pounds, 12 ounces. And I'm like, this is crazy. Like all the things just happened and now I'm back.
Wait, Tio, did Marta start breathing? Did she get oxygen?
Marta was
you
breathing.
Passed out. Marta's passed out. And then she delivers a bowling ball.
Yeah,
that's bigger than a bowling ball, like 5 bowling balls.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Yes, Marta was breathing. Marta was fine. Her arms were, like, numb from the anesthesia. So, like, you know, afterwards, they're like, fold your arms across your chest. So she was just, like, swinging. I'm like... But everyone was safe. Everyone was healthy. So we just have a funny story looking back. The nurses and doctors are probably like, what is wrong with these two tall athletes that just can't handle it in here? And here we are.
Oh,
geez. I feel like we just got the scoop. We just got the scoop scoops.
That's the scoop. It's funny. When I tell people, I'm like, it's funny.
Oh, that's good. That is good. Wow. And Teo... Teo came into this world with one mom passed out in the waiting room and the other one like pulling out her oxygen tubes. I need air. Oh, yep. Good one.
Basically, yeah.
That's a good one. Okay, how about Ruby? How's she handling all of this?
Ruby is doing pretty good. I think she was a little bit confused, like, she knew Teo was in Marta's stomach, right? But I don't think she knew that, like, that was actually a baby in there. It was just, like, everyone was telling her, this is Teo. So now when we came home with the baby, she was excited, a little bit confused. I think very happy that he doesn't touch her stuff. So we've been just trying to, like, help her feel involved. And at the same time, she has her own things. But she's good.
My elder child, when the second one came in, was like, is he staying? I'm like, yep. He's kind of here for a long time. Huh?
What was the age?
2 years.
Okay, so yeah, I feel the same.
I think Izzy's still wondering if Declan is staying.
Does he have to stay?
Does he need to be here?
Oh, so fun. Congratulations. That's awesome. Happy for you guys.
Thank you.
Stewie, the first thing we always do on the podcast after we listen to the birthing story is set the scene, where you're at, what you're doing, all those things.
So I'm in Brooklyn, just trying to get my off-season life together, now navigating two children. But yeah, it's been nice to have a little bit of downtime and, you know, enjoy being home and being present.
Okay, y'all. I did the math, and this is now our third time, the three of us being together. Our first time is in 2015, Stewie, your senior year at Connecticut.
You're a little baby.
It was right at the start of school, and we were talking about in that interview, you going for your fourth national championship. Then we met up again in 2019. And that was while you were recovering from your Achilles injury.
Mm-hmm.
And now 2023. So basically we get together every...
Wow. Oh, okay. We do every 4 years.
Every 4 years, like the Olympics.
We're Olympians.
Three times. Three-time Olympics right here.
Three-time gold medalists because they're all gold.
I feel like because we have such familiarity, we can do this a little bit differently. Stewie, what I'm really interested in is like, what do you want to talk about today? Like, what's on your mind? Besides giving us the scoop, what have you been thinking about lately?
What have I been thinking about lately? Just like in a broad sense of everything or?
Whatever, wherever you want to take it. This is the most open-ended question I think I've ever asked.
I know, I'm not sure. I've been thinking about how women's sports is in like a amazing period right now where it seems like we're really about to continue to kind of lift off and go to a place where we probably haven't been before. Interested to see how that will tie into the Olympics because, you know, we haven't had a normal Olympics since 2016, really, because when we went to Tokyo, it was, you know, you're dealing with COVID and restrictions, and we were stuck in that hotel for 14 out of our 17 days there. Then you could go outside afterwards. After your 2 week quarantine, you can go outside, but it's kind of like, well, what do I do?
Julie did a lot of Instagram videos.
I did a lot of bands.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I could talk about whatever.
I thought you were going to say, like, I just want to talk about, like, sleep. That's it.
I could talk about my sleep, but Teo's, he wakes up once a night.
Ugh. Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Big baby.
Brilliant.
Big baby.
Okay, Stewie, MVP again this year. You averaged more points and assists this year than any of your prior year. And as we know, this is a common theme now that we've done this every 4 years, this sustained excellence with you. So I'm interested in what internally, emotionally, mentally drives you to keep setting that bar so high. How do you sustain that?
I think what kind of continues to drive me is just the ability and the want to be better. I think that, you know, understanding that I'm obviously a great basketball player, but I still have, you know, an untapped potential of, you know, making sure that I get better and better every single year. And, you know, I'm not really sure if you're an athlete where you're like, well, I can't do anymore. You know, does an athlete, you know, feel like,
yeah,
that?
I'm good.
Yeah, this is right where I want to be. So I just feel like, you know, I'm in my prime. This is where I want to just continue to be my best and set that standard. And, you know, coming into this league, I set the mark pretty high, but making sure that every kind of facet of my game gets better.
You know, if we go back to when we first met at Connecticut, that's what I've seen. It's incredible where you can do freaking anything on the court. You can nail a deep three, you can run rim to rim, and you can block Asia Wilson right in her face. And something I wondered is, in all of this time, how do you decide what to focus on in order to keep adding these elements to your game?
You know, that's what's important about, like, having good people around you to kind of help you decide and work on specific things, but making sure that I just fine tune everything, and then understanding, like, whether it's the cadence of which I'm playing, or how people are going to guard me, or how people guarded me last season and how they'll guard me this coming season, using that. I don't know. It's a lot of things to work on, but just making sure that, you know, throughout my workouts, I kind of hit a piece of everything.
Mm. So you literally in the off season go into workouts thinking, okay, I'm going to work on, it's not just, I'm going to get fit, I'm going to get my reps in. You're like strategizing what you're working on in terms of areas you need to grow.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah.
How do you not let, I mean, there's a lot in life, right? And as you become big elite athletes in any sport, there's a lot of things that pull at you. I mean, two kids beyond that as well. How do you not get distracted by that? Because I think that's a common theme we see. You know, the pull becomes, you know, hard. You have to say no a lot, I'm sure, but it becomes more difficult.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, understanding, and I think that's something that I try to tell the younger players or new players into this league is, like, you could say no, you know.
No is a complete sentence.
If you don't want to do something, or if you don't like something, like, say no. If you have something else going on, say no. You know, I have a great circle around me. Marta has been amazing throughout all of this because she knows, like, I want to be present with her and Ruby and Teo, but also I want to be the best and I want to be great and I want to make sure that, you know, when I go to the gym or when I'm working out, I don't feel guilt of not being at home. Mm-hmm. So she supports me with that 100%. And I make sure that, you know, my family and my workouts, they come before the other things that are kind of pulling at me.
What's been the biggest adjustment? Because all you knew was Seattle, and, you know, outside of not playing alongside Sue Bird, which is probably one of the hugest adjustments. Mm-hmm. What's been the biggest one in New York?
I think just kind of like starting over, in a sense. It's like, you know, when you start a new relationship, and just understanding who are going to be my people and who's going to help me and where do I do my workouts and all these things, and kind of embracing the uncomfortable part. Obviously love Seattle, love playing with Sue, but really wanted to make this change and, you know, start a new chapter somewhere else. And, you know, come to one of the biggest sports media markets in the world and play with amazing talent and just know that, you know, we could do something really special here. And the season has been incredible. The way that the fans were kind of coming out, especially for the playoffs and at the end, I mean, it was like Barclays was completely sold out. You look up. Yeah. You have to like cover your eyes to like see all the way up because the way the lights are, but it's like it's packed up there, and you see the videos after and the towels and all that.
Yeah.
It's really cool to be around, and it's like, even though the finals didn't go the way we wanted, even though it finished what, 3 weeks ago, people are still like on the streets talking about it. When I'm walking outside, they're like just saying thank you. You know, thank you for the season. We can't wait for May. We're locked in. We're ready to go. And
that is so cool.
It is. It is really cool. And it's just a great, I don't know, great feeling.
I wonder if being in Brooklyn has any factor with that, that it's such a community that the whole borough is getting around the team.
Brooklyn is like community, like more neighborhoody, in comparison to Manhattan and things like that.
I'm just thinking of walking into a coffee shop and seeing Brianna Stewart there and being a Liberty fan, and that would be a pretty rad experience to have.
I mean, New York knows basketball, so they know the Liberty, and hopefully they'll continue to show up, and maybe we'll have 17,000 at the start of the season.
Right? Not just for playoffs. Yeah. If you were to say, okay, I'm putting my GM hat on, what are the pieces still needed to get to winning the title?
Pieces still needed. I think we just need to solidify our bench a little bit more. I think that, you know, we have some free agents, myself, JJ, Steph, I believe, and I'm sure there's others, but it's just making sure that we can keep the pieces together and build the chemistry. I think that what we were able to do in such a short amount of time and come together in May and make it to the finals was incredible. And, you know, looking back, it's like, yeah, it sucks. It sucks that we lost, and Vegas was tough. They played really well, but we could feel like the opportunity that we had, and want to make sure that, you know, when we get back there again, we'll handle it the right way.
When you said you're a free agent, haven't you been cored, as they call it, where you're part of that core designation? The fact that I even know that is, I'm really proud of.
I know, that was really good.
Do I sound like a total beat reporter? Yes! I don't just do soccer, people.
I know, we got to talk about soccer.
Let's go. Forget basketball. What do we even need to talk about basketball for?
Yes, so I think I will be cored, but that doesn't happen until January or February or something.
Okay. So for all of you non-basketball people out there, being cored means that you deserve the core designation. You're allowed to give that to one player per WNBA team so that they do not go into the free agent market. And they get a stay because they are core to the team. Correct?
Did you just read that?
No. It's right here.
I'm like, did that?
Right here, Stewie.
Yes.
In my big brain.
That is correct. As a part of our new CBA, you can only core a player twice, which means you are only stuck.
Stuck.
Because it used to be like they would just continue to core players like over and over and over. So players would be stuck with the team forever. And you can never leave. Yeah.
It's interesting when I threw out that lob early in the interview, as far as what you might like to talk about, that you brought up women's sports, because one of the questions I had prepared is that on this season of the podcast, I've been thinking about how women's sports is at this inflection point. And what I'm really curious is about in talking with you is what it's like being one of the faces of that movement.
I think it's just, you know, making sure that we don't get anything less than what we deserve.
And, hell yeah.
You know, as female athletes, you know, we know, I feel like we've been telling people forever, you know, watch us, pay attention, this, that, and the other. And now it's kind of like, you know, now they have. Now you're seeing sports on like primetime or, you know, certain networks, and ratings are going up like hundreds of percentage and 250 and whatever, all these things. You're like, I don't even know what this means. But It's like, yeah, because you put us where people can watch. You know, you make us more accessible. You talk about us more. So it's
funny how that works.
I'm like, yeah, we told you. Like, hello. We've been talking this forever.
How many decades does it take? Good God.
But we have, you know, an incredible amount of athletes and talented women across the board, especially in women's sports. And I want to be able to continue to push that forward, to continue to talk to companies or endorsers or whatever the case may be, to understand that, you know, this is just a start. You know, you see all these things, but it's like, don't just be a bystander. Like, come on, get involved. Like,
yeah,
bring your people or your company to be a part of the WNBA, WNBA or NWSL or whatever the case may be, because we're going to continue to grow and we're going to continue to build.
Yeah, it's so fun to see. I mean, and then coupled with the fact that this, you know, obviously, I think that the power of what we're seeing in terms of data and numbers and revenue and sponsorship numbers around women's sports and attendance numbers and viewership and all of that. But then you couple that with what I love most about women's sports is that y'all recognize you have this platform, right? And it's for a bigger purpose. And that's what I've always admired about you WNBA players, and you in particular, Stewie, is that there's more to it than, of course, standing on a podium and or you know, winning a gold medal or holding up, you know, a trophy. That this matters in so many different ways, and you've done such a good job of making sure there's purpose to that passion and purpose to that play. What's the biggest thing that you're focused on going forward right now on that level?
The one thing that I'm kind of focused on, like on the off the court sense, is, you know, like we talked about, being, I'm in Brooklyn now and I'm in New York, and we got here in April because we came right from Turkey and moved all of our stuff from Seattle. So the way that the community kind of, you know, showed up for us in New York and continued to give back to us, I want to give back to them and continue to kind of focus on that. And at the same time, you know, we're always fighting for equality over here. So making sure that that's a consistent one that never changes.
I think one of the coolest things you did was make a jump to a company where you were going to have your signature women's shoe. You know, people might not know that women's basketball players, girls, have been wearing boys' and men's shoes. Mm-hmm. And that makes a statement. Just you doing that makes a big statement.
Yeah. I mean, what a crazy time when you're in like sneaker negotiations. And that was...
Did you pass out?
No, I didn't pass out.
Okay, good.
But I'm convinced that it was the lights in the OR room. I'm convinced. We need to have like a trial where people go in there with the scrubs. Someone says that they're not breathing, and we see how everyone reacts, because maybe it wasn't.
You know what it is? It's that on the other side of that sheet, this is what my husband said, on the other side of that sheet, he's like, your entire insides were laying on your stomach. And I was like, what?
Wait, he's did like, he look over?
He looked. He
Are
was
you
like,
allowed to do that?
I think so. He's like, literally, like, everything is out, like your intestines, your... I'm like, what?
Well, oh,
you didn't even look.
Didn't
so
even
you
look,
can't even.
So
you
didn't
even
look.
Mm. Oh, you should have said, "Yeah, that was it, Julie."
Mm.
No, didn't even look.
When I walked in, I was like, follower. "I'm just tunnel vision. I'm not looking at anything else. I don't want to see anything nasty. I just want to." Where's the baby?
I just want to hear a baby crying. Teo, get out. That's funny.
Anyways, Puma's amazing.
What's it like in a sneaker negotiation?
It's kind of, you know, it was a little bit like a bidding war, but what Puma wanted to do and how they wanted to continue to build back into the basketball market, because they weren't for a while, and then make sure that not only are they pushing their entire basketball market forward, they're getting behind women's basketball. And giving me that opportunity to have a signature shoe where you can go in and you can go to any store and you can get the Stewie ones. And that's something that's really cool. And the process behind it has been wild. Like the first shoe, the Stewie one, we did during COVID. So it was like there was product delays. We never saw like a 3D sample of the shoe until, you know, almost when the shoe was done. So it was a very rushed timeline, but it's unbelievable. I think to be able to be a part of a small group of women's basketball players that have a signature shoe or have had, but there's many in the WNBA that deserve them, and hopefully we just continue to keep building on that.
My high school basketball shoe is a pair of Cheryl Swoops shoes, and I played high school basketball a while ago, and it took time for another WNBA player to have her own shoe.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Swoops.
I hope you still have them. You still have them.
I do. Yeah. When I can show you, they're a little worn, but yeah, I still have them.
Vintage.
Totally vintage. Julius, you know what I was thinking is that we asked Billie Jean King to totally name drop. We asked her recently what she sees for women's sports, but what would you like to see for the future of women's sports?
I think that what I would like to see for the future of women's sports is not only for us having to stick up for ourselves and kind of express ourselves and explain, you know, how we do things and what we are, but for others to do that. And, you know, those with an even bigger platform to do that and kind of shed light on everything that we do on and off the court. What did they say? It was what? All women's sports receive 5% of media coverage. Yeah. That's changed now to like
10, 15.
Mm-hmm. You know, but it's
they
like
say.
They say, but it's like
it should I don't be, know who they is, but they say
yeah. It should be 50, you know?
Yeah.
And within this percentage that we have, like, don't make female athletes have to compete against each other, you know, for it and for who can continue to get a bigger deal or things like that. We should all be working in parallel. And that's how I feel with like the WNBPA and the players and the WNBA. It's like, because we have an opportunity to opt out of our new CBA deal, having a TV deal come in, it's like, we should all be working together to make sure that this gets better. And so that's what I would like. Everyone work together. Give us more. Give us more of everything. Jets.
Yeah, and there is room money at the table. It's not like one or the other, right?
That's how I feel. It's like, we're not here to pick up scraps.
Yeah.
You know? We have
that's a kinger. That's a kinger quote right there. We're not here for the crumbs.
Exactly. Give us a seat at the table. We have a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm. We got shit to talk about.
We do.
Jules, do you have anything else? Or are you ready for some
game
competition?
Time.
Wait,
game
I have
time.
Something.
Let's
Who
go.
Do you think is going to win the soccer, the finals?
The final?
Final.
I know who you're thinking. I know who you're thinking, Stewie. You're going back to your old city, your old stomping grounds. I would like to see Pino.
Wait, aren't you in San Diego?
I would like to say Pino take it. I'm with Angel City. We lost in the quarterfinals.
But don't you live in San Diego?
Yeah, I live close. I'm actually sadly not going to the final because my child, Izzy, is playing in a big tournament in Phoenix for soccer. Mm. And I miss a lot because of my travel. So I just felt like I needed to be present and go with her. So I'm going to Phoenix to watch her play for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I'm missing it. I'll watch it on my little phone while she's playing. But that would be cool to see Pino win it in her last year. OL Reign. Bring it back to Seattle. They've never won. I don't think they've ever won.
That's what I was wondering. I don't think they've ever won either, right?
I don't think they have won. I don't think either Gotham or
Gotham for sure, no. This is the first finals.
Yeah.
Well, I'm New York now, so
Gotham
I'm like,
finished
I have
in last
to cheer
place.
For them a little bit.
Oh, that's right. You got your two cities. Yes. Look at you. That's I didn't cool. even think of that.
Yeah.
So wait, so who are you cheering for then, Stewie? Which way are you going?
I don't know. I'm cheering for Megan.
For Pino. Yeah.
It's cool though that it's hers and Allie's like final game. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's having a flashback to our 2019 conversation where you talked about Pino celebrating with the Storm as if she had won a WNBA championship. So maybe you can return the favor for her.
Oh, yes. I mean, I'm ready to party with whoever because I feel like I'm on both sides because Gotham has showed up to our games and they've been
That's cool.
Big supporters of us. But
I love that. And Gotham went from last place to now playing in the final, by the way, last season.
Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah. What were you going to say? Sorry.
I was going to say my relationship with Megan is pre-existing.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll ask Ruby who we cheer for.
There you go. Stewie, it is your off season, but we are going to engage in some competition here. It's officially time for the Lynn game. In fact, you're ready. Can you share with us what your noisemaker is? This might be one of the cutest squeakies we've ever had.
It's my dog's dog toy.
Yeah. It's adorable.
Oh, little Finding Nemo.
Jules, what do you have?
Mimosa one, but it was dirty, and the squeaky didn't work. So
a mimosa one.
I love a mimosa. I love good mimosa.
I didn't know they made a mimosa.
Not a mimosa. A Bloody Mary. Sorry.
Oh, Bloody Mary squeaky toy. Really? God, I got to get myself a Moscow Mule squeaky toy because that's what I enjoy a lot of. I'm going with the King or Kong ball. That is my squeaky.
So, Stewie, this game is 5 questions. Just
we
like
don't have one.
I distribute the questions. I'm the game show host. She refs. Will. The ref.
Okay. Let me get a good grip.
Just like the WNBA finals in this game, best of 5 wins. So there'd be 5 questions, all multiple choice. The theme of this game is, I'm a cool mom.
Okay, wait, I just want to say, Stewie, as you have had sustained excellence and you're consistently great in basketball, I have sustained excellence in the Lynn game. That is
well,
my...
Well, have you been, like, practicing your squeak?
Yeah, I work on my squeak.
40 minutes ago.
Yeah, so I warm up, I stretch.
All of the questions are about the movie Mean Girls.
Oh, wait, what does that have to do with cool moms?
Well, that might be an indicator of how you're going to do in this game, Julie.
Wait, I've seen Mean Girls.
Me too, but I'm not that, like, well-rehearsed on it.
Yeah. It's all multiple choice, so everyone has a shot. Question one. What song does Damian sing at the talent show? Is it A, Survivor, B, Just Dance, or C, Beautiful? Julie.
Oh my God, that was a hard one. Just Dance.
Incorrect. Stewie, your options are Survivor or Beautiful.
Do I squeak? I squeak. I really have no idea. Beautiful.
Correct.
Oh, God.
Question two.
All right, 1-0 to Stewie.
Mean Girls is like before my time a little.
Okay, Question two. Which actress plays Regina George's mom and is a cool mom? Is it A, Anna Gasteyer, B, Paula Pell, or C, Amy Poehler?
C.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I got the next one because I know what it is.
Question
2-0. I'm going to get smoked in this damn game.
On what day do we wear pink? Is it A, Stewie?
Friday.
Incorrect.
I got a chance.
What day?
There's a window. I'm in. What is the other ones?
Option A, Wednesday. Is it B, Thursday, or C, Friday?
Well, now you have... You don't.
Wednesday.
Correct.
2-1. Let's go.
Question 4. What is the group name for Regina, Gretchen, and Karen?
Oh.
Is it A, the Plastics, B, the Pink Ladies, or C, the Gossip Girls? Julie.
A, the Plastics.
Oh, Stewie, that's a tough one. It came in. I called Julie, so it is the Plastics. And now we'll
2-2. It was me. I got in first.
So we could, unfortunately, I don't have a red flag for a review on that, Stewie.
We're recording. No VAR. Go back.
We know VAR on this. Okay, 2-2. Coming down to the wire. This is the last question, Stewie.
Question 5. What character says, that's so fetch, and keeps trying to make it a thing? Is it A, Karen Smith, B, Regina George, or C, Gretchen Wiener? Stewie.
C?
Correct.
Oh, she doesn't even know what C is.
Gretchen.
Gretchen Wiener.
You always pick C. Always pick C. If you don't know, you pick C.
See?
Well done. Well done.
Oh, God. I was so close to beating Stewie.
Next time we do Paw Patrol, because I'm really well versed on that.
Good to know.
Next time we do Dora the Explorer, that would have been like very in line with, she would have given you something really like in your wheelhouse.
Just keep swimming.
Yeah. Just keep swimming. All right. Most pressing questions. Lynn.
Mine is more of a statement. Stewie, I would totally take you in a bar fight. We asked in the 99ers episode, which 99er would you want in a bar fight? And it made me think I, in general, would just always take Breanna Stewart in a bar fight. And I have a theory that you would actually defuse the situation where there a fight would break out and you just would roll up and be like, y'all, why are we fighting? We should just be hanging out and having fun. So it's kind of curious if you think that theory has some weight to it.
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Okay.
I went to UConn, so, you know.
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah.
What does that mean? That you went to UConn? They're diffusers?
That we know how to party. We know how to drink. Because what else are we going to do when we're over there?
Oh. That's not diffusing. I mean, if you're drinking,
I could diffuse in many ways. We can talk it through. Then we could all have a little Moscow Mule or a Bloody Mary.
Or we just pass out.
Or just pass out.
I got asked. There seemed to be a ton of chatter post-finals and during the finals, whether it was night-night and Kelsey Plum apologizing for saying New York Liberty is not a team, a bunch of individuals. I have this debate. I'm thinking this is a generational thing because I have this debate with my 14-year-old a lot who loves to talk the smack. And I'm like, just stop talking the smack, right? So what did you think of this? Do you love it? Is it normal? Do you not like it?
I mean, I think that it's, I'm fine with it either way. I think that, you know, what I think is, you know, when you look at men's sports, it's like everything is being dissected, you know, whether people are like blinking twice in the matter of 1 second or whatever the case may be, or, you know, whatever LeBron is doing. So, in order for us to continue to kind of get to the point where we can say we're equal with them and we continue to reach equality, we have to be able to take both the positive and the negative. So I feel like if you're gonna like talk smack, like you have to be able to take it as well.
Mm. That's a good response.
I'm not worried about it.
Yeah. Because there are, I remember when I first started commentating and I would be negative on TV about like play or
people didn't like it, right?
They did not like it, and they told me because this was like past teammates, right? I had just retired, and I was like, "Listen, you're gonna have to like it because that's like how it's gonna be. Like if we're really gonna want the sport to grow, then you have to take the good and the bad. It can't just be like, oh, let's keep promoting and saying how great everything is when it's not great.
Yeah, so. I feel like it's like you have to be able to like really dissect the sport and. Mm-hmm. You can't just have like all the happy butterflies and fluff.
Yeah. It was a lot of chatter though.
Yeah, I'm sure they didn't like it.
Yeah.
Oh, in the finals? Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot of shit talking.
Yeah.
It's all right. Yeah.
It's all right. All right. Okay, Stewie, high, low cheer. Now this is something you could take this when your kids are a little older. This is something I used to do around the table a lot with my kids when they were little bit older than yours, elementary school, middle school. Now they're too cool for school and don't want to sit and chat high, low cheer. We used to do their high of the day, their low of the day, and someone that they wanted to cheer for to show gratitude for someone else. So for you, I want you to do the high of your career, the low of your career, and the cheer is for someone that you're grateful for who's helped you along the way.
Okay. The high of my career would be winning two Olympic gold medals, mm-hmm. and hopefully a third soon. The low of my career would be rupturing my Achilles.
Mm.
That sucked. and what was the one? The cheer?
Cheer.
Who someone I would you're, cheer.
That, well, that you're grateful for. For.
I'm grateful for Marta, my wife, obviously, because she's there for me for through thick and thin. But I'm also grateful for Susan Borchardt. She's my trainer, and she helps me day in and day out continue to, you know, be great and make sure that I'm only getting better.
Ah, good one. I hear a lot about Susan.
Mm-hmm. I'm starting my workouts again, and now my whole body is just being sore. It's like that soreness where you can't sit on the toilet. That's what I'm
oh
right
yeah
now.
That's the best.
Yeah,
I don't miss that, honestly.
Yeah.
Stewie, I love you, my friend. I'm so proud of all you're doing and what you're going to continue to do. Congrats on Teo. Congrats on being a cool mom who just beat me in that game. I can't wait to cheer you on next year.
Thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure to be on the show for the third time and once every 4 years. So I'll see you guys in 2027.
Yeah, we'll see you then.
With another gold medal. Or I'll see you in Paris next year. Let's go!
I know. I can't believe it's coming up.
I know. I'm doing the soccer, not the basketball, of course.
I think you're trending toward you could.
Guys, just swap.
I might try. Yeah.
I've never seen Julie so engaged with the WNBA than this year. Like, she got into it.
I know. I was all in on that game four. I was like, let's go! So if I do call some hoop games at the Olympics,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just saying it could happen. What else would I talk about besides the core designation? Because that's mm-hmm. really all I know about mm-hmm. basketball. I try and give my 14-year-old tips. I'm like, you get in there. You box out. I could do a little Dickie V. I love when he used to go.
Yeah.
That guy can shoot the rock, baby.
You know, I think the key then is that you simply need to get your catchphrase.
Get your booty in the ball. No. Get your, I'll think of that. I'll work on that. takeaways.
I sincerely mean this. I am so proud of how in Laughter Permitted, we've talked about menstruation, menopause, IVF, and now C-sections. Thank you, Stewie, for that story. I smell a dopey. And although what really was a hilarious story, I just think it's awesome that we have a platform where women can tell it like it is. And the other takeaway is that I have a feeling Hoops fans are going to do maybe some finger snaps right now with me, because it's just incredible. I mentioned this in the interview, to see how Stewie gets better and better and better. She's the great of the greats and has not stopped improving. And
yeah.
My takeaway is how hard she works to improve her game. She hires and works with the best in the business to do so, and said how she even says no to make sure that her choices align with her priorities on and off the court. So that was, I always enjoy when an athlete pulls back the curtain a little bit on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's, I think sometimes young kids think, oh my, she's just got really good genes or DNA, or, you know, it's because she makes money and she can do all these things. No, she works her ass off. and she's very committed to getting better. My takeaway was that after watching Stewie for so many years, the thing that always gets me about watching her play is she's always so chill. Like, she's hard to rattle. And basketball is a very emotional sport, as we know. So it's always commendable when a athlete, for as much success as she had and as many people who tried to shut her down, is so unrattleable. I think that's a word. I'm going to say so. So the thing that my takeaway is, her passing out story showed, I was kind of happy to hear it because she is a mere mortal after all. And I honestly wasn't sure. So that she faints like all of us do. Oh, such a good story.
Yeah, that was a great story.
Questions permitted, Lynn. What do we got?
This came in an email from Joe. She said, hey, all, do you have suggestions for how an average middle-aged woman can help advance women's sports? I go to games, buy the merch, support the sponsor, share the pods, coach a bit, but it seems trivial compared to the passion I feel and the value sport has given me throughout my life. I have tons of friends who feel this way. We need ideas, please. Thank you, Joe.
Great question, Joe. Lynn?
My initial thought is, Joe, what you're doing isn't trivial at all. That you doing a lot and to keep doing it. And I really do believe that we all have a little nook in this space. Everything counts. Everything adds up. And there is a lot to be said for women supporting women.
Yeah. And I would absolutely agree that is not trivial because she's doing all the things that owners and investors and people who are getting in the business, sponsors, want to see, is that she's putting a butt in the seat. She's going to games. Mm-hmm. She's watching it on television. You're buying merch. You're, you know, supporting the sponsors. And I would say that the one thing I think lost sometimes is, you know, people are going to games now. And we see that in the numbers and watching games. But I think this is a big one that I'm starting to realize on the marketing side, is that the difference now in sponsorship for women's sports is that brands are activating. You hear that word a lot. So meaning that they're not just, so what used to happen in women's sports is, say, and I'll just pull this out of the sky, McDonald's was supporting the World Cup. Mm-hmm. And when they bought a package, they bought the men and the women's World Cup because they had to buy it as a package together. Mm-hmm. So they would activate on the men's World Cup and do all these promotions and commercials and in-store advertisement and on Happy Meal boxes, marketing of players and their support of the World Cup. But for the women's World Cup, they would do literally nothing. And again, I'm not saying McDonald's did this. I'm just giving this as an example of a big sponsor, right? And what you're seeing now is these brands are activating with, which is why they're separating them out. They're not packaging them together. Hmm. They're separating them out so that they're buying the Women's World Cup and then they're activating on Women's World Cup. They're buying the Olympics and they're activating on it. So what's really cool is when these brands, as they do at Angel City a ton, as they do with the U.S. Women's National Team, I know specifically, get the feedback that these consumers and clients are using their product because they value them supporting women's sports. So the two, of course, on top of my mind are Ally and Dick's Sporting Goods, our two sports, I'm sorry, sponsors, who have made a huge commitment to supporting women's sports in this space. And so by showing that allegiance and buying their products and going to their stores and mm-hmm. doing, you know, so I think is huge as well, because what we're finding in the data is that women's sports fans are some of the most loyal fans out there, which makes more sponsors want to come to them. So I would say, only to add to that, keep supporting the sponsors mm-hmm. who are giving back to women's sports, because it does really make a difference. And hopefully that many more will activate.
So Joe, thank you for asking, and keep doing what you're doing.
Joe! All right, Dope Village. Thank you for taking the time to hang with us. We hope you got some laughs out of that one and a few sticky thoughts to take with you on your day. You will definitely get a lot of stickies as well from next week's episode with Paralympic runner and Madam President-elect of the Women's Sports Foundation, Scout Bassett. She's an amazing story herself, which she fills us all in on. Also, for the Dope Village, if you would, go on and rate and subscribe to the pod. That really does matter in our never-ending quest for world domination, Dope Village domination. And as always, a big thank you to our sponsors, Ally and Dick's Sporting Goods, for their continued support, and to Kate Diaz, of course, for our theme music. And as always, kids, remember, sing it with us.
Laughter permitted.
give us a seat at the table. We have a lot to talk about.